The Web of Life by Robert T. Weston. There is a living web that runs through us to all the universe, linking us each with each and through all life, on to the distant stars. Each knows a little corner of the world and lives as if this were its all. We no more see the further reaches of the threads than we see of the future. Yet there they are. Touch but one thread, no matter which, the thoughtful eye may trace to distant lands its firm, continuing strand, yet lose its filament as they reach out. But find at last it coming back to them from whom it led, we move as if in a fog, aware of self, but only dimly conscious of the rest. As they are close to us in sight and feeling, new objects loom up for a time, fade in and out. Then, sometimes, as we look on unawares, the fog lifts, and there's a web in shimmering beauty, reaching past all horizons. We catch our breath, stretch out our eager hands, and then in comes the fog again, and we go on, feeling a little foolish, doubting what we have seen. The hands were right. The web is real. Our folly is that we so soon forget.
Herman Logan, and I bring greetings from the First Unitarian Church of Richmond, Virginia. And thank you so much for inviting me here to share with you this morning. I feel like Williamsburg UU is my second home. Believe it or not, this is the 10th time that I've preached here, so I might need to bring my suitcase and find a place to stay. One of Unitarian Universalist's most regarded and revered figures was Ralph Waldo Emerson. His thoughts and writings have shaped the stories that we UUs tell ourselves, that our uniqueness, individualism, are central components to our faith, our beliefs, and our theology. We are the ones that see things differently. We are not fond of rules. We have no respect for the status quo. We are the church of Emersonian individualism, and we celebrate the gifts of individuality. The beauty of nature, differences and diversity, which all humanity shares. As a people of faith, we are told that we do not need to follow the way of others. We are unique, and we have all we need to know. So we just not much believe in ourselves. Now, what have moved many people to join this faith community is that as UUs, we don't often succumb to groupthink. We don't have to believe what we don't believe. We don't pray to the same God in the same way at the same time. We don't even have to believe in God. We have our own individual expression of faith. But friends, somewhere along the way, something went awry. We, as a faith community, took the blessing and joy of individuality and made it an ideology, a theology, a creed, and yes, a dogma. We went from celebrating our own individuality to the dogma and demands of individual rights. Friends, in the early stages of Unitarian Universalist history, Emersonian individualism may have been a bold and appealing way to grow. But in the 21st century, this type of individualism is not sustaining. It will not serve the greater good, a principle to which we have committed ourselves. And there's little to nothing about ideology and theology of individualism that encourage us to work and live together, to support and create institutions to serve our common aspirations and beloved principles. And when our principles are used as an expression of individualism, rather than an expression of joy and celebration of individuality, this principle becomes dangerously close to sounding like ideology or creed turned theology and spirituality. In essence, the theology of individualism leads to the creation of the I Church. My colleague, Reverend Frederick Muir, coined the term I Church as he was preparing for a presentation to a group of UU ministers on the theme Emersonian individualism. And while researching the topic, he thought something on the role of technology would be of value. So his research led him to ponder what the I meant that was placed in front of Apple's products. And he discovered two explanations. One, that the I means internet. And the other explained that the I stood for individual, as in your personal individual place of technology, piece of technology, to be used for whatever purpose you want, to help you think different. So we embrace the Church of Emersonian individualism, but we also allow Emersonian individualism to become corrupt, and it has left a twisted definition of what it means to be a Unitarian Universalist. You see, my friends, I'm afraid we have become the I Church, the individual church. As the I Church, our faith will not sustain and grow us. It is not the language of the I Church nor individualism that makes us UUs, but is that of covenant. And we cannot do both covenant and individualism. Articulating our principles as a commitment to covenant, creating and sustaining the beloved community by promise to one another our mutual trust and support is challenging work, but that's what we are called to do as UUs. Now, friends, I have a few concerns about the concept of the I Church. One of my concerns is that this I Church mentality has led many folks to this faith community with the notion that our religion was made just for them. And for some of us who grew up in this faith, individualism, in some cases, has become the worship of the individual. The worship of the individual had led to the notion that we love our individuality so much that we cannot make room for someone else. We are unwilling to give up even a piece of our individuality to create a community where all feel welcome. As a faith movement, we say we are welcome to everyone. All are welcome into our doors. Some of our churches are welcoming congregations, which means that we are LGBTQ friendly. Some of our churches proudly, and in some cases defiantly, displays Black Lives Matter banners to show that we are in solidarity with our Black siblings. We sing, "Come, come, whoever you are," as an invitation to all to come to our sanctuaries. And in some of our churches, we have worship services that showcase our diversity in hymns and readings that we select. But despite our best efforts and good intentions, as we welcome folks into our churches who don't look like people of the dominant culture, unintentionally, and I'm sad to say, in some cases, intentionally, there is an expectation for these friends who conform to the dominant culture. We make them feel that their cultures are not as valued as the dominant culture. And when or if they become members of our congregation, regardless of how many times that they have heard that all souls are welcome, they often struggle to hold on to their identity. We who are not part of the dominant culture are expected to give up all or some parts of who we are just to fit in, just to be accepted by some in his faith community. And while some of our UU congregation attempt to celebrate traditions and customs of other cultures during certain times of the year, and you know when they are, Black History Month, Day of the Dead, MLK Birthday, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, more times than none, we do not seek to create a new culture in this faith community where everyone can see that native culture reflected with honor and dignity. And those who are in our faith, who are from a dominant culture, are not expected to give up any of their cultures, traditions, or custom, or the right way of doing things. Sure, there are some that say that we're like our faith to become more multicultural, a place where all feel welcome, a place where all can feel at home, just as long as you're willing to assimilate, just as long as you're willing to be like us. I've been a member of this faith for a few years now, and there's been time when I attended some of our churches where I felt that there was an expectation for me to leave a part of myself at the door. And let me ask you, my friends, why should I be willing to give up a part of who I am just to fit in this community when you are unwilling just to give up just a fraction, that's a tiny bit of your culture? How do you expect me to feel welcome? We say that everyone is invited to the tables, but how can I feel welcome when I'm invited to take a seat at the table and you're not serving me anything that I like to eat? As a matter of fact, please don't serve me hummus. Another concern that I have with the I Church is that it's fostered the notion of Unitarian Universalist exceptionalism. Law professor Randall Kennedy described American exceptionalism in his book, The Persistence of the Color Line. And let me paraphrase his words to reflect on how UU version of exceptionalism may sound to some of us. As a faith, Unitarian Universalism is shaped by the perception, ideas, institution, and ambition, which posits, among many things, other things, that our way of religion is uniquely virtuous, uniquely powerful, uniquely destined to accomplish remarkable things, and thus uniquely authorized to act in ways to which Unitarian Universalists would object if it was done by other faith. So don't expect me to preach about exceptionalism, and I hope I don't hear that from any of my colleagues, nor in our congregations, where I wouldn't hope not to find folks to speak the language of exceptionalism. But we are honest with ourselves. We know that it gets spoke frequently, whether as a sort of pride, personal or community truth, embellishment, anger, clarification, or welcoming. We often articulate Unitarian Universalism, exceptionalism from the pulpit, from our greeters, our RE programs, and those who are earnestly trying to explain our way of religion to folks in our new member class. And as unique as our experience with Unitarian Universalism may be, friends, we're not the only way. We don't corner the market for liberal theology nor progressive religion. And when we are explaining or defending our faith, we must be aware that our words, deeds, and action do not come across as elitist, insulting, degrading, or even humiliating of others. As important as it is for us to share the good news of this faith, we must not let the I Church exceptionalism become the barrier to inviting new souls into our faith community. Now, another thing I find problematic with the concept of the I Church is that we UUs are allergic to power and authority. When I joined this faith, one of the first things that I discovered that polity, or the way that we govern our congregations, was like the Baptist tradition that I once followed and served as a minister. I quickly established that in both the Baptist and UU churches, power and authority comes from the congregation, although in the Baptist church, we had to answer to a higher authority. But it didn't take long for me to realize that we UUs had an allergic reaction to power and authority, and this was a real deal. Now, I knew that many of us have found ourselves under the heels of abusive system of authority, hierarchical structures, and misuse of power in the religious community that we weren't once was a part of, and many of us left the community because there was no room for different views or disagreement. However, once we discovered Unitarian Universalism, we became infatuated with the sacredness of nonconforming and individualism. And this, in some cases, can lead to a self-centered worldview. And this worldview tends to make us to distrust authority. We can fend for ourselves. We can make it on our own. We develop "you're not the boss of me" syndrome. Our allergy and power to authority is a factor to our inability or unwillingness to welcome and listen to a diverse interest or passion without being distracted or immobilized. And we as a community fail to provide space for those who disagree. It contributes to our inability to grow, deepen, and shape a healthy and robust faith. And those UU congregations where there are a deep and clear understanding that addresses the potential of abuse and misuse of power and authority, while also understanding and reflecting a constructed use of power and authority, are among the most vibrant, growing, and electric congregations in our UU movement. Friends, the I-Church mentality, individualism, worshiping the individual, all of the above, has led our congregations to become I-focused rather than we-focused. Focusing on the I often leads to serving our members' self-interest rather than serving the best interests of the ministry and the mission of the congregation. And true community doesn't happen unless everyone is willing to give up some of their identity as to take on the identity of the group. And if that does not happen, then we are merely a group of individuals sharing a common space but not becoming the beloved community. Being in this beloved community means that we should continue to celebrate the gifts of individuality, the beauty of nature, differences and diversity, which we all are part. And as members of this faith community, it is essential to feel honor to be seen in our uniqueness and to be able to grow in ways that are uniquely ours. But at the same time, we also need to acknowledge that alone we are not sufficient. We need each other to challenge and support us. We need to give to others as we are given to. We need each other to survive. As a human race, even as we honor and hold true to our individuality, our identity, our uniqueness, our existence depends on one another. We are interconnected and dependent on each other for even the smallest things. No matter how strong we are, how self-reliant we are, there may be times where we may fall short and we need the strength of those around us. It doesn't mean that we are weak or feeble. It simply means that we need each other to survive. I need you to survive not because of what you can do or give me, but because you matter to me. We may not all look alike, speak alike, pray alike, or love alike, but we need each other to survive. We may have different theological, political, or socioeconomic views, but we need each other to survive. We come from diverse backgrounds, have different life experiences. We view the world through different lenses, but we need each other to survive. And despite all of our differences, the common thread is that we need each other to survive, and we, as a faith community, a nation, the human race, cannot survive unless we are willing to work together for the common good, to be a force of love, compassion, understanding, justice, and hope in a world that sorely needs to hear the good news of Unitarian Universalists. Friends, we need each other to survive. This community needs us to survive, and I need you to survive. May this be so.